Thank you, Dave. Dave lives across the street from me. He was leaving this morning as I was leaving, and we almost had a meeting of church before we got to church. Just in the nick of time, he stopped and I stopped, and we were thankful. What a great addition they are to our church family. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Now in the 25th verse. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, verse 25. Now, great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father or mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not hear his who does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king goes to make war against another king and does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with his 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither good nor land nor of dunghill, but men throw it out, and he who has ears to hear, let him hear." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We pray, Father, that you would teach us, challenge us, Father, and change us. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. A recent Forbes magazine article dealt with some issues in the workforce. We are having trouble in America's workforce, and it's because there's a particular group in the workforce that they've missed out on some truths. They missed out on some basic principles. There are some truths that you just need to know if you're going to work. And so Forbes put out kind of a Jobs 101. They let it be known that you need to know time is not a limitless commodity. This group seems to live with little or no sense of urgency, and it's difficult to get them to do anything if it's not centered in their own recreation. And so they need to know that time is important. They need to know that you may be talented, but talent's not enough. If your talent doesn't produce action, then your talent is wasted. They need to know this: social media, in most cases, is not a career. While social media is a useful tool, it is not, nor should it be, one's life. And when you are paid to work, you are generally not paid to be texting your friends. Forbes put this forward: pick up a phone. While indeed much of can be done on a computer, most business gets done by actually talking to someone. And that can be done by the same device you use to text in most cases. An internet failure does not mean you can go home. You're through for the day. Don't wait to be told what to do. Be proactive. You are not going to get ahead if you're afraid that you're going to do more than you're paid for. Don't try to get by with the least you can do. People move forward in business by going beyond, by doing the second mile. If you're only going to do the least you can do, you'll be passed over. Take responsibility for your mistakes. Most of your employers know that you're not perfect. And if you've worked for a while, you've probably proven that to them. Your employer would probably appreciate you being honest and admitting when you've been wrong, and they would probably work with you to correct the errors. Don't focus on tearing down those around you. Your success is not measured by how much you can belittle other people. Do not verbally assault your business. Most employers don't like that. By the way, don't verbally assault your business, your school, your church, or your family. If something needs to be corrected, correct it. And if you can't correct it, find somebody who can. While this article kind of focused on one particular group of people, it points out that we have some weaknesses in the job market that touches many and many people. In fact, more and more people, it seems, want the rewards of hard work without doing any of the labor. Most success requires a lot of effort, a lot of dedication, directed activity. The attitude exhibited by those that in the group that Forbes was addressing is the attitude that comes across like, I really want to be a doctor, I just don't think that all that school is necessary. Or I would really like to play an instrument, but I don't think it should be about the rehearsal stuff. Most moves to get ahead takes you actually moving. The overall attitude has become one of entitlement. It's kind of the attitude of we deserve to possess everything anybody else possesses without the effort that it took for them to possess it. If they got it, we should have it. If you want to get ahead, do the work. And that's their job 101. And I really believe our workforce doing the work is what's gotten our nation this far, and we need to learn from those who put in so much labor in the past. You know, there was a time that people were dedicated to their jobs. There was a time that people wanted to do the best they could do. And you are called, if you are God's child, to always do the best you can do. It doesn't matter who's paying you. It matters that you do the best because you're working for Jesus. You're not working for the job. In this passage, Jesus gives us a discipleship 101. He tells us what we need to know if we're going to follow him. He makes it very clear. It is a reality that salvation is free. If you are here, you don't have Jesus in your heart, you can get Jesus in your heart. It will not cost you a single thing. If you want to be saved and you want to go to heaven, all you have to do is say yes to Jesus. All you have to do is understand he went to a cross for you, he died for you, he was buried for you, he rose for you, he wants to come into your life. All you have to do is say yes. He paid the cost. All you have to do is receive it. It is a free gift to you. It is a free gift to everybody you know. If you are here today, you want to be saved, you can be saved. In fact, just know this, at the end of this service, I'll be standing down here. If you want to know that Jesus is your Savior, come to me, say, I want Jesus. I want Jesus. Really simple. You believe that he is God. You believe he died for you on Calvary's cross, that he was buried, that he rose again. You believe you want him in your life. We will pray together. Jesus will come into your life. He will save your soul. He will do it right now. It will not cost you anything. However, if you want to follow Jesus, if you want to be his servant, If you want to be his disciple, there is a different measure. You come to Jesus and it cost you nothing. Jesus paid it all, and it is all to him we owe. We know salvation cost absolutely zero. However, Jesus makes it clear that following him is going to cost you everything. Being a disciple is an all-in prospect. Most people recruit others by telling them how flowery things are, how good things are, how great things are going to be. Everything's going to go right if you just go this way. Jesus didn't use that tactic. Jesus gives no false pretenses. Huge crowds were waiting for him when he comes out of the Pharisee's house. He's been dining with the Pharisee. He healed a man there. Now he's coming out of that house. Huge crowds start to follow him. And when they start to follow him, he challenges them. He knows that his march to Jerusalem is not a parade of celebration. It's not about a party. It's about a cross. He knew that life for his disciples was going to get tough, so he lays down some hard truths for those that want to come after him. Listen, we have taught people so much about the positives of Christianity, and they're there. They're wonderful. They exceed anything you could ever dream. That sometimes when people get challenged in their faith, they crumble. They're thinking everything's got to be pie in the sky and everything's got to be wonderful and there's never going to be any problems. Jesus never said that. In fact, Jesus promised the opposite. He promised that if you follow him, there are going to be difficult days. If you follow him, there are going to be people that do not like you. I know that's impossible for us to think. We're so likable. If you follow Jesus, you're going to have days when people will stand against you. You need to follow Jesus anyway. Listen, we need a church that will follow Jesus. We need a church and a people that will follow Jesus when you go out there, wherever out there is. When you see them at work, when you see them at school, when you see them at family reunions, we need people that'll still be living for Jesus in all those other settings. We're not going to win a lost world by just sitting in here. We need to sit in here. We need to have our time together to power up in the Lord. But when we go out there, we need to be equally committed to Jesus. We need to be dedicated to who he wants us to be. So if you want to be a disciple, if you want to grow in the Lord, if you want to be blessed of God as God wants to bless you, there's some things you need to know. You need to compare the care. Verse 26, if any man comes after me and hates not his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, Jesus is not teaching his followers to literally hate those that they are closest to. There are plenty of things in Scripture that tells you you're to love others. There are plenty of things in Scripture that tells us that we are to honor our mother and our father. There are plenty of truths in Scripture that tells you you are to obey your parents. By the way, most parents like that verse and teach it to their children very early. And so a principle of Scripture is that we are to love one another, and we are certainly to love our parents, and that love is far from hate. What Jesus is talking about here is comparing the care. It is a comparative hatred. We're to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts. We're to love him to such an extent with heart, soul, and body. We're to give all of our devotion to Jesus, so much so that the love we have for our parents, comparatively, would be like hate. We are not to love our families less. We're to love God more. Now, here Jesus is using a figure of speech. If you were in an English class, they would tell you this is hyperbole. And hyperbole is an exaggeration for the purpose of emphasis. He was not telling us to hate our families. He's telling us that God is to hold the priority in our lives, and we're to love Him above everyone, and we are to love Him above everything. In Matthew 10:37, Jesus says, "He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Now, for many, those in the crowd, this commitment would have struck them. To love Jesus more was going to be put to the test for them. Some in that day would choose Jesus, and because they would choose Jesus, their families would reject them. Today in our world, the same is true. There are people that if they choose to go after Jesus, their families close the door to them. I have known some individuals that have come to know the Lord that came out of a Muslim faith. And they have shared with me that the moment they accepted Jesus, their father said, "You are dead to me." And the rest of their lives, they lived without contact of their parents. There is that kind of thing that some people have to deal with. There are those that have an atheistic leaning, and they don't believe in anything. And when their children come to a point where they say, "I believe in God," they cut ties. Some people have to make those kind of hard choices. The truth that Jesus is trying to teach is found in Colossians 1:18. In all things, he might have preeminence. Jesus is to be the number one priority in your life. If he is not, he is not Lord. If he is not Lord, you are not a disciple. Now that's just facts. We want to serve Jesus without the service. We want Jesus to take care of all of our forgiveness needs, and we want Jesus to take care of all of our hurts. We want Jesus to shower his blessings on us. But we don't want to bow down to him and let him be Lord. We want to tell Jesus what we want him to fix instead of surrendering to Jesus and allowing him to use our lives. You might find serving Jesus difficult in some days. You need to serve Jesus anyway. On the occasion you find that serving Jesus is a conflict with your parents, you serve Jesus. On the occasion that you find serving Jesus is a conflict with your spouse, you serve Jesus. On the occasion you find serving Jesus is a conflict with your children, you serve Jesus. Now, for most of us, we can handle the parents thing, and we can say, "I love Jesus more than my parents." And we could probably handle that, brothers and sisters, and loving Jesus more than our brothers and sisters. But loving Jesus more than our kids? That's a real test for some of us. Be very careful when this world would push you to pull away from God's worship under the guise of supporting your kids. You should be pulling your children toward the Lord and toward his worship and toward lifting him up. And you should be lifting up the one whose name is above every name before your children. And they should know that that is your heart and that is your stance. And they should learn that from you by watching how you live with your children, by how you live with Jesus. Jesus is clear on this. If you put your family above me, you are not worthy to be my disciple. Now, that's fairly clear. Now, the other side of this that you need to understand, you really can't love your mother and father, you really can't love your spouse, you really can't love your children as you should. You can't pour God's love on them through you if you are not surrendering completely to Jesus to receive that love. And so to give them the best quality love they can have, you need to compare the care. You need to love him with all of your heart and allow him to funnel his love through you to others, which will allow you to love others beyond you would what you would ever be able to give them on your own. Then to follow Jesus, you need to carry the cross. In verse 27, he says, "And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now, salvation is free. We've made that clear. Anyone who wants to receive it can receive it, but it also comes at a very high cost. The fact that it's free to you does not mean it is free. Jesus had to pay a very high cross, a very high cost for your sin debt on the cross. If you're to follow Jesus, you're going to have to bear a cross. Now, many of you in this group today are wearing a piece of jewelry. Many of you are wearing a finely honed cross, and you wear it as a token of love and comfort, and it may have very special meaning to you, as well it should. But in Jesus' day, nobody would wear a cross. In Jesus' day, nobody would have a cross hanging in their house. In Jesus' day, there was no comfort from the cross. In Jesus' day, the only time anybody would carry a cross would be when they were going to die. Now, while there is nothing wrong with you taking heart and courage and meaning from a cross that you might wear, you need to understand the cross was something different for Jesus. Jesus said his disciples were to carry the cross. He was saying something far stronger than wearing a piece of jewelry. He was saying, follow me is going to require 100% from you. We have people going to marriage counseling today, and they go to marriage counseling, and in a very popular line of marriage counseling, they are told in counseling that you need to be ready and willing to give 50% to your mate, and they are to give 50% to you, and as their 50 comes together with your 50, you have a whole. Isn't that precious? That is as wrong as it can be. What that means is if you give 50%, you're holding back 50%. And if they give 50%, they're holding back 50%. And you may come together in that 50-50 thing, but I'm going to tell you those 50% that are held out will get you. Because there are things of divisiveness that are there that have not been presented. That's why so many marriages end in divorce. It's got to be 100%, 100%, not 50-50, not 100, and then only 50 come from the other side if there's going to be a true growing marriage. Jesus didn't say, okay, come to me, give me 50% of yourself. He never said that. With Jesus, it is all or nothing. If you are not willing to give him your whole heart and life, you are not willing to come to him for salvation, much less for being a disciple. Some people get the wrong idea about their cross. I've heard some women say about their husband, "Well, he's just my cross to bear." And the husband may think that about his wife, but he's smart enough never to say it, because it's far more dangerous for him to say. Or somebody may have a wayward child, and they'd say that child was just their cross to bear. No, that is not your cross to bear. Some people don't like their jobs, and they say, "Well, that's just my cross to bear." He's saying, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to be my disciple, you've got to be willing to die to yourself. You've got to be willing to put my will first. You've got to be willing to do what I want in your life, because what I want in your life is best for you and it's best for the kingdom of God. We die to ourselves so that we might live for Jesus. Now, being one who bears the cross is a public matter. Did you know that Jesus carried the cross publicly? Did you know that Jesus died on the cross publicly? Did you know that everything Jesus did for you and sacrificed for you, he did publicly? Joseph of Arimathea was a secret follower of Jesus. He didn't let anybody know. He followed Jesus, but he followed Jesus behind the scenes. But when he saw Jesus hanging on the cross, he understood that he couldn't be secret in his faith anymore. He went boldly to Pilate. He begged the body of Jesus very publicly to let it be known that he was a follower, because if Jesus would carry a cross for him and die on a cross for him, he could not be silent anymore. You can't carry the cross and hide the cross at the same time. And so the people in your family need to know that you love Jesus. The people at your school need to know that you love Jesus. The people where you work need to understand that you love Jesus. You need to carry him in how you live your life and how you deal with others. And they should see his heart and his attitude pouring through you. In following Jesus, is there something you need to die to? Is there some friendship that's causing you to pull away from God, and maybe that's a friendship you need to die to? Is some activity pulling you away from what God desires, and that's an activity that you may need to die to? We need to be willing to give him our all, because, my friend, he has given you his all. In following Jesus, we need to be willing to lay it all on the altar. We need to be willing to say, it's all for you. And what does that mean? Well, that means certainly I'm not going to stay away from church because it rains. You know the saying, Baptists are the group that it takes a tub of water to get them into the church and a drop to keep them out. You know? Can't come to Sunday school because we were just out late last night. Which immediately says, whatever you were doing last night is more important than what the Lord would have you do today. By the way, most of you, if you stayed up late or not, would end up back at work the next day. Shouldn't you love Jesus as much as you love to work? You know, the dedication is missing. It should be in our lives. And we should show it to others. So he tells us, compare the care. He tells us, carry the cross. And then he tells us, count the cost. In verse 28, which of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient funds to finish it? Jesus tells two parables. They are very simple stories. In the first, one man wants to build a tower, but he doesn't plan out to see whether he's got money to build the tower. He's got money to build the foundation. And so he begins building the foundation. Gets the foundation built, has to stop. Now everybody walks by and they see that tower, and they see the tower unfinished, and they know that this guy was an idiot because he didn't count the cost to make sure he could finish it before he started it. And people began to laugh at him because he did not count the cost. And then Jesus tells a story about a king. What king would enter into a battle without first calculating to see whether his 10,000 soldiers could beat the opposing 20,000 soldiers? The Christian life is like the strong tower. It's like a tower you would build, a tower of worship, a tower of praise, a tower of faithfulness, a tower of witness to the glory of God. And yet some of us stop short of building the tower. We stop short of, of coming to Sunday school. We stop short of being faithful to worship. We stop short of praising God. We stop short of telling our friends about Jesus. And we never build the tower completely. We never take time to count the cost. The life that quits on Jesus is a mockery to the cross of Jesus. Don't quit on Jesus. Meet him with your total dedication all the time. When you mess up, fess up. You're going to mess up. You are. You know, I have. And is it a shame that we mess up? Absolutely. But there is a God who loves us enough, who wants to forgive us, who wants to reclaim us, and he wants to use us. If you have messed up in the past, that does not mean you can't live for Jesus today. He is willing to pick you up, to clean you up, dust you off, and put you back in his service. But be faithful in that service. The Christian life is a battle. Some have a little skirmish and they drop out. Don't let that be you. Are there going to be battles? Are there going to be disagreements? Are there going to be difficult days? Absolutely. Allow God to give you the strength you need for the battle you face. Listen, this sacrifice thing is not a bad thing. As we give ourselves to him, he fills our life and blesses our lives. Now he ends this section of scripture talking about salt. I don't know whether you're aware or not, but did you know that soldiers often would receive their pay in salt? You ever heard the phrase, he's worth his salt? That's what that refers to. As a believer, we need to be worth our salt. We need to be doing the work God has for us to do day in and day out, that we earn the salt that God puts into us. We need to be so living for Jesus that we make others thirsty for Jesus, as salt would make people thirsty. We need to be so living for Jesus that we preserve the things of God, as salt is a preservative. We need to be so living for Jesus that he looks down and says, that's my child, he's worth his salt, or she's worth her salt. Believer, is your life fully committed? That really is the question of the day. That's where discipleship hits the road. That is discipleship 101. Are you truly committed to Jesus? Have you been truly committed to Jesus? Do you need to be more committed to Jesus than you have been? If so, then make that decision now and today and move forward committed to Jesus. Have you compared the care? Do you love Jesus more than all? Are you willing to carry the cross? Are you willing to die to yourself that Jesus might shine through you? And have you counted the cost? Are you willing to put Jesus first in all things? Song we often sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. Actually, I'm going to ask our musicians to kind of change and do that as our invitation today. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. You know why churches are not overflowing? You know why we haven't turned this entire area to a praising God place? It's because too many times we've turned back. It's time we met Jesus with all of our hearts. It's time we served him with all that we have. It's time that we live not as a casual believer, but as a sold out disciple. And Jesus will see us through all the way. If you're here and you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior, then meet me down here and just say, I want Jesus. He will save your soul today, all because he loves you enough to go to a cross for you, to die for you, be buried for you, to rise for you, and he wants to live in your heart, and he wants to bless you with a life, a committed life, a life of a disciple. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask that you would move in our hearts and our lives, and you would make changes in our lives today. I pray, Father, that you would touch those that are in this room that do not have Jesus, that they would be willing to come and say, I want Jesus. And Father, for believers that are here, Father, that we would not be casual in our faith anymore, but we would be totally committed to you all the way, all the time, surrendering ourselves every day, every moment of the day. And Father, if we've gotten away from you, let this be a time that we come to you and just recommit ourselves. Father, I pray for those that would come to the altar to make that kind of commitment, that you would bless their lives and use them for your glory. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You come as we sing.
I have decided.